Good evening. The show begins tonight in a conversation with my good friend Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies about all the war fighting that's going on simultaneously to the headline about the Strait of Hormuz. The conflict in Ukraine is far from settled, despite the overwhelming numbers favoring Russia. The news of the moment and of the trend is for Ukraine to strike deep into Russia at energy nodes, setting aflame refineries and pumping stations and all manner of infrastructure 800 miles behind enemy lines, is the most recent reporting. In addition to that, a report that French special forces captured a oil tanker associated with Russia's the Shadow Fleet. Question I'm to ask is, are they going to hold on to it or are they going to return it to Russia? Unknown, but it was a surprise because Mr. Macron has been a Putin whisperer for many years. However, the Ukraine conflict is largely stationary at the battlefront. The Ukraine ability to strike with drones is the new information. 800 miles is not a record for them, but you get the sense they could take down anything they wanted. They're choosing targets carefully. I did have a conversation about how they choose their targets. Of course they get U.S. assistance with satellites. However, here's the twist. The Russians also strike with drones deep into Ukraine, but they don't have Starlink. It's Starlink that allows Ukraine to talk to the drone when it gets past the horizon. That's why the 800 miles is critical, deep in enemy territory or adversary territory. Then a conversation also with Jonathan Saya about his native Iran. He's from Tehran, and he stays in contact with many people there. The total blackout of the internet has been partially lifted, so there is communication, but you're warned routinely online not to overstep your bounds or you will be arrested, whatever that means. This is a brutal regime that slaughtered thousands in January, we're told. We don't have an accounting. The negotiation between the Tehran government and the Washington government at this point doesn't exist as something to reliably report. One day, Mr. Trump says we're near a deal. The next day says it's time for us not to talk. In other words, it's complete contradictions coming out of the president's opinion. From Iran's side, they're saying opposite things. We're not going to talk because they're not meeting our conditions to stop bombing Hezbollah in Lebanon and stop firing at us in Iran. The U.S. is saying it's defensive measures. Israel is saying it's going to press its attack on Hezbollah as long as they remain a threat to the northern border. Yes, it's a tangle of ambitions and claims. There's no sorting it out. The Straits of Hormuz remain shut. That doesn't mean things don't get through. It means that it's not free commerce. The oil and the other resources are not flowing to the world. Hence the cost of living. Then a conversation about Hamas with Samuel Ben-Ur of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. Hamas is not disarmed. Hamas is not contained. The Israelis have launched a strike that have killed the most recent commander, military commander of Hamas, in the approximately 30 to 40% of it that they possess, in tunnels and in residence. Israel has claimed 50, 60, up to 70% now, possibly, of Gaza. They don't want it all because they don't want responsibility for governing the people of Gaza. What about the Board of Peace? I asked. The Board of Peace doesn't much exist except for a headline once upon a time. There's no money coming in, although that was supposed to have collected $17 billion. It looks to be a Trump administration idea that satisfied at the moment, and they've moved on to other concerns like the Strait of Hormuz. Hamas's political leadership remains in Doha, Qatar. And though they're on the wanted most dead or alive list, they're not going to be attacked again, I'm told, because the first attack failed so badly. I don't know why that should protect them, but I'm told that it does. Then a conversation about the election, a very exciting election in Colombia, looks to have been won by those who are against narco-terrorism, against Petro, against the abuse of power these many years in many American capitals. However, there's a second round to come. It's just the first round vote. And Gustavo Petro, the president, has skills. It does bolster the opinion of the opposition in Venezuela that Delcy Rodriguez and her brother Jorge can slow walk the move towards democracy, but democracy is right next door. In fact, there's said to be up to 2 million Venezuelans who took refuge in Colombia these years of the Maduro regime. And the vote against narco-terrorism is a vote for all those people who want to go home to Venezuela and to Colombia. Both countries have been bedeviled by the narco-terrorism gang. Lula da Silva is warning the United States not to name two major gangs, PCC and the Red Commandos, in Brazil, not to name them as terrorists, but that's what the State Department has done. Lula da Silva is running for a fourth term in October. However, right now he's lost the narrative when it comes to pleasing the United States, which is what he set out to do, to neutralize the possible favoritism of his rival, the very young Flavio Bolsonaro, who has also been to the United States and visited with Mr. Trump. Other conversations have to do with Syria, where there's a vote underway in the Kurdish areas, some of the Kurdish areas, but not a vote that can be trusted. Al-Shara is not trusted, the man who named himself president in Syria. I'm also told that Iran is looking to reopen the highway between Tehran and Beirut so it can resupply Hezbollah. In other words, after years of fighting since October of 23, and after a year of fighting with Iran directly between Israel and Iran, the picture looks much the same as it did before the war started, with all the units under Iran's control coming alive again and Iran rebuilding its defenses and its underground cities in Lebanon and in Syria and in Iran. What did the bombing achieve? It dragged out the inevitable that Iran rules Persia the way the Persians have always ruled it. It's impossible to invade successfully. Has been for 2,500 years. Later on, a conversation with Peter Berkowitz is happy. It's about what have we achieved at the 250th anniversary of the United States. Peter talks about the postmodern progressives who are unhappy with the U.S. because of, yes, all the institutions that are decried as violent and depending upon slavery and to aggrandize themselves, and the post-liberal right that is unhappy with America because the government does not oblige people to worship in a certain way, to enliven the spiritual lives of people who are Christians. In other words, something like a theocracy, except for it doesn't want to use that name. So two sides of the same anger. Postmodern progressives who are angry about the history of the United States, and the post-liberal right who are angry about the history of the United States that doesn't oblige people to go to church. That's what Peter tells me. It's odd. It was all new to me. I'll learn more from Peter in coming weeks. There's much more to the show. Thank you for listening. Good night.